If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here on the Up Your Brave Show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. Next up, we're going to Christchurch. I'm talking to Lisa Tregenza on the topic of healing trauma with somatic practices. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
I'm so thrilled to have you on the show. You and I met last week in person, and we've been messaging over the years, and now I get to learn more about you. For those of you that don't know Lisa, Lisa Tregenza is the movement and mindset coach and founder of Intune Yoga. She's practiced yoga for over 25 years. Go you. I've practiced yoga for 4 months now. She's a qualified trauma-informed yoga teacher, an NLP practitioner, and a qualified intuitive life coach. She fully embodies her style of in-tune yoga, utilizing movement and mantra to support her and her clients through many life challenges. Lisa delivers accessible mindful yoga practices to support physical and mental wellness through her online programs, In-Tune Yoga Daily and Moving Through Menopause, as well as in-person and groups. She also facilitates corporate yoga classes, workshops, and retreats, coaches groups and individuals, and speaks at events. Lisa is passionate about empowering you to embrace movement and mindset, to move through trauma, supporting you to live a healthy and wealthy life you love. Well, let's dive into it. I'm excited to talk about what exactly trauma is and somatic practices. But before we do, can you paint us a little picture, Lisa? How did you get to this point in your life where you're helping so many people move through movement?
Thank you. Well, it has been a journey. And it really, for me, yoga was always something that I loved from the minute I was first introduced to it. So I have a background in the corporate world, and I was first introduced to it when I was the marketing director at a gym here in Christchurch. And from that point, I utilized it at different times. It certainly wasn't a daily practice back then. And then if we fast forward a little bit through my corporate life to three children. So three children under the age of 20 months, and times it was pretty full on, let's say. So for me, connecting in with my yoga practice was wonderful. And sometimes it really was breath work. And then the point, I guess, in terms of when we talk about trauma being a big trauma, was my separation. So at that point, I had some challenges in terms of obviously the adjustment, home. There was just a lot going on, and that in itself is a whole story. And really, you know, what it came down to was prioritizing the safety and mental health of my children and myself. And that was challenging. And at the time, I didn't have the opportunity or the funds really to get the support in some ways that I needed, but I knew I had my yoga mat. And so that yoga mat became my savior in a way. And that was my sacred time. And that was my time where I connected in to movement. And I found by just going to my mat and releasing and holding, and I guess you call it more a yin practice, I'd release. So I'd release tears, I'd release all of that. And then I would need to go and pick up the kids. So I'd be like, okay, I need to now come back into my power and be present. And that's how I then started using affirmations and movement with that. And so that's where my journey began, from literally lived experience and discovering this myself on my mat. And then over time, I started sharing that in my practices with yoga, completed my yoga teacher training, trauma training, all of the different training, just keep learning, and processing trauma that I had stored, which I now understand, in my body. So that's where it began. And I've just really deepened my knowledge and gone through my own healing process.
I love how you talk about it. It's so true, because not everyone has the funds to go and get support. But if we can just do something, as you say, go to the mat, you went to your yoga mat and hold some poses. I mean, there's YouTube videos people can watch, but you know, having the proper training is helpful. But just to do some releasing rather than holding it in. I wanted to ask you, first of all, about stored trauma, what you just mentioned. What do you mean by stored trauma? Does it have to be a massive event? And how do we know if we've got that?
Great questions. So trauma, when I talk to trauma, and certainly with the training that I've been through, we talk about trauma being unprocessed emotion. And if we start looking at these words, like even emotion being a feeling, so it's a feeling that if it's an emotion, it has the sense of moving through us. And if it doesn't move through us, it becomes stored. And when it's stored, it stays in the body. And sometimes, you know, we think about this as being potentially in our head. And of course, it can be stored in our head in a thought loop in that sense. But it can also be stored in the body. Because what happens is that back to caveman days, if we felt or thought that there was a tiger, a saber-toothed tiger that was about to chase us, we are going to go into that fight or flight. That people are now familiar with that term. So when that happens, our body goes into fight mode, activates the muscles, we're strong, we're off, we're going to run. Now, what happens in modern day is we may not have the saber-toothed tiger, but we may have things like a lot of deadlines. We've got that pressure. Or we may have a literal safety issue where we are having to deal with something and make a decision. And, you know, like we did in Christchurch with earthquakes, where we're like, do we stay in the house? Do we get out? What do we do? You know, that sort of...
We went straight outside. We were out the door.
I went straight to grab my twin, literally under arms, and then my daughter. So, you know, we're going into fight or flight. So in different ways. But what essentially does happen is if that energy is not released, it stores in the body. So it kind of stores and we tighten. We might tighten quite often through our hip area. Because if you think of running, it's going to come from the area. So that is why quite often we talk about there's trauma stored in the hips. So people can have tight hips. So then it leads into, if we need to release trauma, and sometimes we don't know from a conscious level what it is we're holding. So we then are able to come into the body with guidance through our breath and then through some yoga poses, if that's the body way that we choose to go. And suddenly, and I see this with clients, we'll come into a pose, in particular pigeon pose, like that one just really gets those hips. And there's a flood of tears. And there's this release because the body knows, the body keeps the score. And then we start releasing this built-up trauma. So trauma, like I mentioned, then can be those big trauma. So we call it that capital T trauma, the big T, like going through an earthquake like we have. Or it could be the little T's that are, you know, it could be ongoing bullying. It could be... a number of life events that just, you know, builds up. So, those are the different types of trauma, and coming back to it being a feeling, an emotion that's not fully processed, it's unprocessed. So it's stored. So that's the sense where it, because we can go through trauma, be held post-trauma and be able to work through that. So that's how it stays in the body. So I hope that answers the questions.
it does. And I'm going to go a little deeper because so unprocessed trauma, is that this? So when we process trauma, is that the same thing as releasing trauma? Is it the same thing? It's just different words?
Yeah. So unprocessed unprocessed is a way of saying that it's stored. Mm. It could be, you know, if you think about, say, a situation, say something's happened at work and we're frustrated. So we all have a different way of venting, as we call it. Some people vent by talking, so we're activating our throat chakra and releasing. Or some people know that they need to release through. It could be going to a boxing circuit or something like that. So it's a physical release of frustration.
Yeah, some people go, I just need to go for a run.
Totally. Right. So you go, brilliant. So if people know what works, that's great because we're releasing. We're not storing it up. We're not compressing it. So yeah, unprocessed. So the release of trauma can be through those ways. Now, if it's a big life event, sometimes that needs more work. So, you know, by thinking, I've just been through a huge traumatic event. Now, that week we were talking about something where I work with clients with sensitive claims. Now, these are, you know, really significant events. So if we were to just go to a boxing class, mm-hmm. that might not cut it. That might mm-hmm. not release. So there's still some processing to do.
Great. I hear you. And I'm just going through some of the terminology so that everyone's on the same page, because it's so interesting, isn't it? So often in life, we are like, I'm fine. You know, we put on what we call a quote unquote, right, brave face. And that's seen to be sometimes a good thing. But if we just store it all in and we don't release it through, as you said, either venting, you know, like sharing the story with a friend, or angry, you know, punching something soft, a pillow or something like that, or crying or running or whatever it is, it's just going to, like you said before, add up and up and up. It just kind of I think I quoted you, the body keeps the score. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that to me just sums up so much. And that's literally the title of one of my favorite books by one of my mentors. So it's like what I was talking about before, that the body will store trauma. So it's keeping a record of things, because if it's not released, if it's not transmuted, then it stays here. Now, the interesting thing with that is different traumas will have different emotions that we experience. So, for example, grief. So, grief could come about from the loss of a loved one. It could be from the end of a relationship. And we can experience grief even when a relationship ends that we know wasn't necessarily for our highest good. Mm. This is where it becomes confusing, because people go, but I know that was the right thing to do, but I'm still grieving. And that energy, that feeling, can sit in different parts of the body. So that can actually sit right on our chest, in our lungs. And when that's happening, when we experience grief and it's storing in our chest and our lungs, then we may experience difficulty with our breathing. So what people may be talking about when they talk about, say, anxiety, it's that feeling of sometimes it can be a physical feeling of not being able to get a breath. Now, what people may not consciously know is that what they're actually working with, or what they actually have, is that stored grief in their body. And so when we start releasing or moving through or acknowledging even this grief, it's giving space more in our lungs and able to breathe. So that's when we're talking about the body keeps the score. It's holding it in different places that we see as illness, dis-ease, pain. Yeah, lots of different physical symptoms will show itself.
Such vital skills for people to learn. I mean, ideally, as children, learning these skills, or learning that we need, if something big happens, you know, big T or little T, it's best for your body to release it. And whether that be tears or punching a pillow or whatever, especially like you said, as then they get into the teenage years, they have relationships and the grief of that first love breakup, right? Mm-hmm. Don't store it in, because it will present in body problems. I didn't know that about the connection between grief and the lungs so much. What other emotion is associated with other parts of the body?
So if we're thinking about anger, that can sit in the heart. And this is a tricky one to kind of, you know, correlate sometimes, because anger could come from anger from childhood. So we have our childhood wounds. And so that anger could be, you know, from quite some time ago, but it still plays out. So they don't even realize that they're acting out from a place of anger on the daily. You know, they're just angry at the world, but they don't really know why. And so that's causing tightness. And we see that sometimes when it can actually go to the issue with heart challenges. So even heart attacks, these types of things. Obviously, we have a physical reason as well sometimes, but the emotional can have something to play with it. And I think, you know, even just on that, I think to my experience where I journeyed with my dad, who went through a quadruple bypass? Yeah, with a heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that whole process of seeing him go through that. And you know, I don't feel I'm talking out of turn here, where I think he would acknowledge that, it's, you know, he's had times where he's had and experienced anger. And I've obviously, as a child, seen that, been witness to that. Now, I understand that in the sense of how that's now manifested and why, and that's his story to tell, but I get it. And so we now see him going through this physical situation. And when he had the actual surgery, we'd see these people who have literally had their heart taken out of their body. Like, it's quite phenomenal. And then there's so many emotions that come up after the surgery because mm-hmm. one of the organs has been touched. Mm-hmm. And so what I have actually seen since then, and with the healing and just some of the awareness I've brought to him as well, is this anger has really started releasing a little bit. And he's, you know, there was actually some depression as well afterwards, because there's so much held literally in our heart space. It's phenomenal. Like, I just find it fascinating. So yeah, quite interesting to watch that journey and see that play out.
Well, hopefully from today, one of the things I would love is for people to understand their body a little bit better, and also to allow themselves, you know, partly it is about permission, right? Permission to cry, permission to grieve. So, because going back to that example of a breakup, you know, someone might be like, I know it was the best thing, but I'm still so upset. And friends might be like, oh, move on. He was a jerk, or she was really, you know, but allowing yourself to feel the emotions. So, so important. Let's move on to somatic practices. You know, I'd love to talk about this because a lot of people won't know what that means. What are somatic practices and how do we do some of them?
Yeah, so somatic practices really, it sounds like a fancy term. And it is, in the sense that it is about a practice that we are connecting in with our body. So it's a way of utilizing our breath, our body, to connect in. And there's obviously the mind aspect as well. So I love this from the sense that it's not just about talk therapy. It's not just about that. It really is this beautiful, full, holistic approach. And so many practices do fall under that. And yoga itself is a somatic practice because we are connecting in with our breath. We are connecting in with our body. And there's a beautiful place where we can get to meditation, either through a yoga practice first or on its own. And that's the sense of clearing or being in a beautiful place with the mind. So, you know, just breath work itself is powerful. Just body work with yoga is powerful. And then once we understand yoga more, and we're talking, when I talk yoga, I'm talking about the asanas, so that one limb of yoga, because there's eight. And it's the connection and awareness. And I think when you have someone you're working with who has an understanding of yoga therapy and how that works and how that's connected with the different organs or the different emotions and how that can then be released in a beautiful way, a held way, that to me is just quite remarkable. So for some people that might be something like, you know, I found that on my mat, right back on the in that space where I was connecting in and processing that without knowing what I was doing. It just felt right, and it was a real intuitive knowing. And for some people, it's something that they can be guided through. And I think, you know, it's so important that really, and to enable us to heal, we really need to allow ourselves to feel, which is what you were talking to just before. It's that permission to feel. And so often we are so busy that we feel that we may think that we don't have the time to connect in. And this is where somatic practices can be a minute. It can, you know, it can literally be that cue of thumb to forefinger, we connect, take a breath, take a pause, take that sacred pause, even if it's before you respond. You know, that's connecting in with your body. So it's that I'm going to connect in with my body, pause, a physical cue, take a breath. Am I reacting or am I responding? So, you know, we can start bringing it in into our daily. And I think that's where it's such a powerful practice, because it's not something that you have to go and do for an hour or, you know, yes, learn the tools and then use it daily.
Well, that's great. I mean, so everyone's listening on audio, but so she's got her, what is it? The index finger and the thumb touching. Yeah. Like you're making the okay symbol and on both hands. And so you're saying even just doing that can bring you in to the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to take a screenshot of that after.
Yeah, it's really powerful. And this is something that you see yogis do and you kind of wonder why. Well, there's a reason. It's connecting the circuit. So thumb to forefinger, both hands, pushing. Like it's a really conscious connection. And so these anchors it's a physical anchor. So, you know, this is where it all connects with like NLP. So you've got brain, neurons, all of your pathways connecting. But how do you activate that? And sometimes we need a physical cue to activate the neural pathways to go pause. So if we just say pause, or it's like when someone says to you, breathe, just breathe. And you're like, I'm too frustrated to breathe. Versus, just bring the forefinger together, take that breath. You know, just take that breath, take a moment, and it's like present, ground. Okay, how can I respond in this situation?
Beautiful. Can you give us some more examples of somatic practices that people might incorporate either daily or maybe just have in their back pocket as such, you know, on call for them to do if they feel like they really need to just be present and grounded or release?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the pigeon pose before. I'm not sure what that looks like.
Pigeon pose. Yeah. So there's so many, you know, within yoga itself, there's so many poses, asanas that we can go into. Now, pigeon pose is an amazing one for allowing a release through the hips. So like I said earlier, we store a lot of trauma in the hips because if you think of the fight flight, that's where we're going to run. So we're activating through there. Now, how do you describe that? Knee, front one knee bent, back leg long, and we're finding length through the torso. Now, that's what we'd describe if we're up. That's a very yin, so a strong expression of that pose. And that's going to create a different energy to
yin.
So we're going to go into yin when we soften. It's yang to begin with. So yang being strong and yin being soft. So we want to release, we really need to be softer. Mm. That's when we come down into pigeon and the yin. And it's time in that pose. It's not like we go snap the fingers, great, done a release, I'm off to the next thing. Because, you know, that's just constant busy, busy, busy. This is allowing space to feel. So we come down into our pigeon pose. If we were just going to come down into it and we haven't necessarily connected in with our breath, we haven't actually connected in with ourselves and gone, how am I feeling? You know, bring some awareness. You're not going to necessarily drop into that release zone. So mm-hmm. there is a practice within that. And you want to sit in that for a little bit because, you know, if you don't sit, you don't really let those feelings come up. You don't, you know, we're used to suppressing. It's like, you know, if you're feeling something at work, you may not want to necessarily immediately drop into tears, you know, whereas if we come into a pigeon pose, for example, and there's a sense of grief or sadness or overwhelm, the tears might be quite close to the surface. And by just breathing, by softening, by allowing us to feel, those tears might release. And there'll be a cathartic release. You know, we sense that when we cry. So like I said to my boys, to a nearly 16, my 16-year-old twins, tears are liquid emotions. It's okay. You know, let them out if that's what you're feeling. So it's that's one practice, but a simple thing. a simple thing that we can do daily is to take off our shoes. This, you know, you sort of think, how is it a somatic practice? Well, we are connecting in with our body, with our breath. When we take off our shoes and put our feet on the earth, we are literally grounding. We are connecting to the ground. And so, you know, put your feet on the grass, dirt, put your, you know, gardening, anything like that is a present moment awareness. Beach, you know, for me, going to the beach daily with my dog, that's a somatic practice. And I will take my shoes off and walk barefoot on the sand, summer or winter. It's amazing for just releasing stress. That it's like you're discharging any unwanted, you know, that sort of just like frustration that you just discharge it into the earth. And it's like, oh, thank you. And then if you're by the sea, you're getting all those ions, the negative ions. And it's just like, oh, you know, it's just a double whammy when you've got your shoes off and you're by the beach. So a simple somatic practice. And as you're doing that, bringing present moment awareness to your surroundings, listening to the sounds, not walking with AirPods, you know, disconnect from technology, listen to the waves, hear the sand underfoot, connecting with your breath, awareness with your movement. All of those things are this mind-body connection.
For those people listening, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm talking today to Lisa Tregenza all about healing trauma with somatic practices. She's just listed off some somatic practices, and we would love to hear from you. It's a little challenge, a little Up Your Brave invitation. If anyone listening decides that they actually want to incorporate more or a somatic practice into their week, then let us know what that is. It's a little bit of a name it and claim it. You can send us a text 2057 or email inbox@realitycheck.radio. Let us know if you're going to go to the beach like Lisa. I also love the beach, by the way. Or maybe you're going to do some grounding through gardening. Or perhaps you're going to go to your local yoga class. I have done a yin yang class a few times, and I hear what you're saying. You hold the poses for quite a while, quite a few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is, because it's that release in the hold. So yes, we can, and I love the yin yang too, because what you're getting is a sense of strength with yang. And you literally feel that release when you soften into one. So it's that dropping in. You're like, oh, yeah, I need this. I need to drop into this. Yeah, the beauty is to allow ourselves to be still, allow ourselves time to feel, allow ourselves to connect in with our heart. Like, it's literally the connection into our heart. And I shared that just before in a practice. So I do with yoga with corporates over lunchtime.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I literally was doing that before the session. And today I thought, oh, I'll connect in and thinking maybe that would be one I could share today, where we connect with our hands on our heart. And again, just like the index finger, forefinger connection, hands on heart is the connection to the mind, to the body. And so really allowing ourselves to drop in if we're seated, hands on heart, how are we feeling? And feeling in the sense of even shutting up the surroundings. So if people feel safe enough to close the eyes, if you're not in a place where that's an option or just not feeling comfortable with that, taking the gaze down. So it's just closing the distractions around and then dropping into our heart space and just sitting with what is and just being in that moment. So it's that invitation to actually just to do that. And from that place, it's awareness, it's noticing. So we're noticing, oh yeah, that was actually quite hard to just slow down. That was challenging to actually stop. Or that, oh yeah, I'm feeling a bit tight in my chest or my shoulders or my body, or wow, my mind's still on this morning. So bringing awareness, and then it's like bring awareness to your breath. And then is it fast? Is it shallow? Is it deep, slow? What's going on? And then once we kind of have done that very quick body scan, it's the connecting and taking it a conscious breath through the nose and releasing through the mouth. And then we start that process of breathing, and then we can connect even more into the body. And once we're in that place, then we start really noticing, oh yeah, there's that tightness in the hip, or, oh, I'm feeling a bit odd in my tummy, or, you know, wherever it is in the body, the shoulder or the neck, pain in the neck, wherever that is. And then asking with kindness and compassion, what's that telling me? What's that showing? And then we can actually channel our breath to that place and give that part of our body a little bit more love, a little bit more energy, a little bit more light, and give that permission to release whatever it is that we're holding on to. So, you know, just that simple practice of hands on heart, awareness, connecting in with our breath, bringing awareness to any tightness, any sensation in the body. And if there's anything we want to release, or if there's just this amazing sense of joy, mm-hmm. let's celebrate that, you know, like actually go, today I'm feeling really good, like in light. And, you know, so let that expand, because just like the body can contract with trauma, the body can expand with love. And so, you know, in a meditation, for example, we can really allow that space to grow and feel that energy grow and send that love and that vibration out into the world. So there's so much we can do when we start playing with this and getting curious with somatics.
Do you think most of the power that we have within us to heal is untapped generally, or people starting to realize that, like you said, breathe into that part of your body that's feeling a little bit uneasy? Like, some people might not have heard of that process before. Do you feel like we're starting to tap into the power of the body to heal?
Yeah, I would even say we are re-tapping in. We're reconnecting, because, you know, I look at ancient wisdom. I look at other cultures, and they do this. They've been doing this for years, centuries, like, for, you know, that they know this. And it's nearly like the Western world, where we're starting to think, is the answer always in a pill? Is the answer always external? Is the answer within us? Is the healing within us? And whilst we talk about someone being a healer, I prefer that the healer is holding space and guiding, because we are able to heal ourselves. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, I think, you know, this wisdom is coming back. It's becoming, we're reconnecting to it, because it's always been there. It's nearly, I think, you know, if we look at the way that the world has changed and it's got faster and there's more technology and there's more, and so we want instant gratification, we want an instant fix, we want to, I always think of the ad, Soldier On, I don't know if you know that one.
And it was, yes.
You know, soldier on, just take a tablet and carry on with your work. And it's like, yeah, suppress all those things that your body's trying to release, because it might be trying to get rid of a cold, or, you know, bleep, you know, whatever it is that's going on. And it's like, carry on. Well, the body's needing to release something. And so how about we actually slow down and listen to our body release, and then we can heal in a way that just connects in with our human self and what we need. So I think, you know, the wisdom's always been there. I think we're just much more aware of it. We're listening to it, and we're thinking, is a pill the only answer? You know, can we look to the wisdom within us and find ways that may not have side effects in the same way? You know, like, it's yeah.
It's time.
It's always, our breath is right there. Our movement is right here. Let's empower us. I think that's the big thing, the sovereignty, the empowerment. It's, you know, our body is sacred, so let's treat it in that way. I'm such a big believer in that.
How do the corporates respond? I'm really happy to hear that you go into corporates and you do these yoga practices with them, hands on heart. gratitude, breathing into the different areas of their body, how do they generally respond? And is it optional or mandatory that they attend?
It's optional. And I mean, we normally keep the practice shorter just because, you know, it's in a lunch hour. And so today I was like, let's play with this a little bit, see if we can drop in a little bit deeper. And they did, you know, that they do love it because they're busy. And so this is their time where they're given permission to sit on a mat and connect to their breath and just let everything else go. And it's always an invitation. So, you know, I invite them to let go of what their to-do list is coming up, or, you know, what happened this morning. Let go of it all. Now's your time to just be. And they love it. So the comments I get are, I feel less stressed. I'm more awake. Like, I've got more energy. I'm feeling calmer. I'm working better with my coworkers. Like, I have more compassion. I'm feeling more resilient. I'm not taking as many sick days. So there's
everything that the boss wants to hear.
Yeah, right. It's amazing. And today when we dropped in even deeper, still within that half an hour, at the end, I just love it. You know, they've really dropped in deep where they're lying in Savasana. So that's the last beautiful integration at the end. And I play a tank drum. So I also have a background in music and music therapy. And so I play that, which has a healing vibration. And I played that as I normally do. And they all just lay there. They didn't move. So when I see that, that's gold, because I think they've really dropped in. Mm-hmm. They're really fully in this practice. And they've gone into that beautiful relaxed state. And I just love that, because there's so much happening in that space, especially when they're really connected with their breath, their body. So it's so beneficial for them, but also for their workplace.
So amazing. I know exactly that feeling. And I often almost fall asleep sometimes at the end. Speaking of high frequency music, the other week I interviewed Lincoln Jesser, who has amazing music. So if my listeners out there, if you haven't already checked him out on Spotify, definitely do that. I was listening to some last night. I thought, you know what? I often listen to a lot of different things on Rumble and check out things on Telegram. But I thought, I'm actually going to listen to some Lincoln Jesser high frequency music before going to bed. And that was a good idea. All right, Lisa, I would love to ask you the wrap up questions. If you were to truly up your brave for the remaining months of 2024, what would you do or not do?
Yeah, I really felt into this because I feel I embody so much of what I do. And then I thought, you know, the one thing that has been challenging for me, and that's more because it has an impact on my family. And and so it's getting to a place where I felt comfortable and ready, I guess, in my healing journey to actually talk more to my trauma that I've been through. So there's multiple, and I would say big T, big T trauma that I'm ready to share. And I think there is power in sharing from a lived experience. And and that comes with awareness from knowing that sharing that part of my story, because there's different trauma events that I can talk to, but sharing that in a public space would really be up in my brave. And when I say a public space, I'm talking like, you know, on stage, sharing that story and how I've moved through that and where I'm at now.
Yes, exactly right. Because you've got to be at that stage where you're ready to share it. And that can be different times for different people, right? On podcasts or on stage or maybe in a book. So congratulations in advance for you. And of course, you know, when you share that story, it can help other people in the audience to heal as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Amazing. Well, keep us posted on that. What is coming up for you, and how can people connect with you, website, social media?
Yeah, so the exciting thing is quite a number of different collaborations and workshops coming up. So workshops, retreats, they are happening in Christchurch and South Island. and for next year on a private island.
Ooh.
So I'm very excited about that one. It's going to be amazing. So yeah, amazing retreats coming up. So, and the key thing is to make them accessible. So for our one day, we are working with some ladies who have been through sensitive claims. So, sexual harm. So for that, a really beautiful held space. We have retreats where we're going away and it's empowerment. And then our international one, which is really for rest and restoring and nice. Really into that. And then on socials, you can connect in with me on Facebook, Instagram, Lisa Tregenza, the movement and mindset coach, and my website, lisatregenza.com.
All right, we're going to spell it for everybody. Lisa, Lisa Tregenza, Tregenza. So, and I love your consistency across all the website, Facebook, Instagram. You're always, it's the same. It's Lisa Tregenza. So that's very helpful. We will put the links on the replay page, or you can text us 2057 or email us and we'll send them through to you. I love the idea of the retreats, but I love specifically that they have different themes and different focuses. So the people that, put their hand up for this particular one, they know, oh, this is going to be the right vibe, the right energy. I'm going to feel safe and held. Whereas for the other one, it might be, oh, I'm going to be empowered. And so that's so important. That's amazing.
Absolutely. Because people are at different points in their journey. And I think, for people who have experienced significant trauma, if it's sexual trauma, sexual harm, then for them, their body and the way that we even move through yoga practice is going to be challenging. There are certain poses in that are going to be very challenging. So it's having that awareness around that. Mm-hmm. There's just someone who may have done some of that healing of their wounds, their childhood, whatever's coming up for them, and they're at a place where they're going, right, okay, I'm ready to step into the next level. I'm ready to up my brave, ready to up my brave and, be empowered. And we've done that down near Mount Cook on the glacier there. And it's just been incredible.
Wait, you're doing yoga near the glacier?
There's a lake and I should release a few more of them now. We were, right next to the ice.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. And so when we take ladies down there, they're all rugged up and then they're like, oh, you're taking your jacket off. Oh, you're taking your shoes off. I'm like, oh yeah, I've got to feel the rocks. And we start moving into yoga and movement. And then before we know it, they've literally taken off all their layers, which they may not have even done back in the yoga studio, but they're just feeling so connected and empowered. And it's just like, wow. And then we have an amazing photographer there, who is as she captures it, and so we had these amazing photo shoots. Oh, my phone's going crazy! amazing photo shoots of these women capturing that moment, so that you can remember how empowered they were and how that felt. Because that feeling, when we connect back to that feeling, we can bring that into it every day again. Mm. And I just love that. Yeah, love
amazing.
It.
Well, you'll have to post a photo, and we can share it on the socials as well. I'll do my best to share one on Up Your Brave for you as well. All right, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today. Is there anything else you want to share with us before we wrap things up?
I just really encourage people to get curious, to feel into that moment of courage for change, to feel and heal, and know that it's what we do daily that creates the transformation.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you. Such a pleasure. Such a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.